Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you back again as we continue our series in the Gospel of John. But today is extra special as we are meeting virtually on Easter Sunday morning. It's where we remember that Jesus is alive. We remember and we celebrate that Jesus has risen. This morning, as we look at this next part of John's Gospel in John chapter 11, I want to start by asking you the question, what do you have power over? I can run, I can walk, I can cycle, I can write, I can talk. I have power over a lot of the functions of my body and things that I want to do. But yet I don't have power over other people. I can't command them and that they would obey my will, as much as I might like that sometimes. I don't have power over my health, that when I get sick, I can just tell myself to get better, and then I'll recover straight away. And we've seen around this world that our power to control things as humans is so limited. For example, when confronted with COVID, we simply don't have the power or the control to simply make it go away. And I certainly don't have the power over death. Death is not right. Death is not how things are supposed to be. But it comes whether we like it or not. We have no power over it at all. But there is one man who does control death, who has power over death. He is the conqueror of death, and his name is Jesus. We wish we could be meeting together this morning on Easter morning to remember and to celebrate that Jesus died and that he was raised to life. We're going to explore an historical event today where we see Jesus display his power over death and what that means for you. So far in the Gospel of John, Jesus has demonstrated his amazing power over sickness, over physical disabilities, and even defying physics as he walks on water. But what's happening in our passage today? We're going to pick it up and we're going to read it in John chapter 11 from verse 1 to 44. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews, who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Take off the grave clothes and let him go. We see here that Jesus demonstrates his most amazing miracle in John's gospel so far. One of Jesus' friends, Lazarus, dies, but Jesus raises him from the dead. This is the seventh sign that John records Jesus doing, pointing us to who Jesus is, that we might believe in him and have life in his name. And this sign has happened so that God's Son may be glorified, and so that people might believe that this, in Martha's own words, is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. This historical event and this seventh and final sign in John's Gospel shows us precisely who Jesus is. Only the Messiah, the Son of God, could do this. Well, what does this historical event reveal to us? Remember, we were thinking about what you have power over. Well, Jesus has power over death, and it points us to who he is. This story is all about life and death. So far in the gospel, there have been 6 other signs pointing us to who Jesus is and calling us to believe in him. And this is the 7th sign and the most amazing of them all. We saw that Lazarus becomes sick and ill, and Lazarus' sisters send word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is ill, in verse 3. Listen to Jesus' response in verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. We see Jesus didn't immediately go to Lazarus, but he stayed where he was 2 more days. More about this later on. But after the 2 days, Jesus told the disciples that Lazarus had died. Not just fallen asleep, but he had died. And Jesus makes his way to Bethany, and he meets the sisters, and they both have the same reaction when they meet Jesus. I wonder, did you spot it? They say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They both knew that Jesus had the power to heal, and they thought, if only Jesus had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Jesus had something else amazing planned. He had this in mind to do from the very beginning. We saw it in verse 4. Look at verse 11. After he'd said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." Look at verse 14. "So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe.'" Jesus had this in mind already, and it was planned so that God's glory would be revealed, and so that people would believe in him. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. He was really dead. This wasn't just a case of Lazarus being asleep or unconscious. He was dead, and he was in the tomb long enough for his body to begin to decompose. There would have been a smell. But going to the tomb, Jesus asks for the stone to be taken away, and he prays to the Father. He calls to Lazarus, "Come out." Look again what happened after Jesus calls Lazarus out. "The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face." Jesus speaks to a corpse. As gruesome as the image may be, a rotting corpse. And life returns. Death is reversed, and Lazarus walks out of the tomb. This is incredible. Jesus has the power to raise people from the dead. He is the conqueror of death. This points us to who he really is, the Son of God sent by the Father. Jesus has power over death. What an amazing miracle. This points us to his identity, who he really is, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world. And this miracle is calling us to believe in him, to believe that he is God's chosen King over all the universe, and that faith in him brings life. We remember this Easter morning that not only did Jesus have power over death to save others, that death itself could not hold him. He was executed on a cross. His body was placed in a tomb. The stone was rolled in front of his grave. But like Lazarus, on that third day, that first Easter morning, Jesus was gloriously raised to life. He did not stay dead. He is alive. That means that all that he said and all that he did has been validated and confirmed because he is alive. He has the power over death. We see that in this incredible miracle. And death itself has been defeated. This amazing truth is for us to believe. It's for us to take comfort in, and it can give us great hope. So we see that Jesus has power over death, and it points us to who he really is. Secondly, therefore, we can take great comfort in the midst of pain. Death is a terribly unnatural thing. Most of us will have suffered the loss of a loved one. Death is a reality in life. Lots of things are uncertain, but in the words of Benjamin Franklin, nothing is certain except death and taxes. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. And this has been the same since the very beginning. When mankind first rebelled against God, death has been present in this world. Because of sin entering into this world, our physical bodies would die. It surrounds us every day. We now even have an ongoing daily death count because of COVID. It's around the world. It's in our families. It's in our church. Death is everywhere. And in this story, we see how Jesus responds to those around him. First, look at the relationship that was experienced between Jesus and this family in Bethany. Look again at verse 3 and at verse 5. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus loved these people. He loved this family. This is evident from his reaction. We see how deeply Jesus is moved, and in verse 35, Jesus wept. People looking on, they saw it. See how he loved him. The Almighty Sovereign God really became a man. He truly entered into our humanity, and he truly felt the emotions that we feel. He shared in the grief, in the loss of a loved one. This is what Jesus is like. He loves us dearly. He knows our pain and our emotions as we struggle in life. He shares it with us. And looking at how this whole scene depicts Jesus' love, it's a really personal love. It's a love for his friend, Lazarus, for Mary and for Martha. And this is how he loves us. This is how he loves you, with a deep, personal and sacrificial love. As we face pain in life, we can take comfort knowing that Jesus loves us and he knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He is right there when we face into that illness or the loss of a friend or family member. He knows what it's like to be bullied or beaten up. He cares deeply for us when we are hurt by other people's words or actions. He is right there with us, and he is for us. He understands. Sometimes we're comforted when someone else really gets what we're going through. Jesus gets it. He really understands. Secondly, we can take great comfort from the way Jesus responds. In verse 33 and 38, look at those couple verses. "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." Verse 38, "Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb." It says Jesus was deeply moved. The word used here in the original language gives us the sense of outrage. Jesus is angry. But what is he angry at? Now, the text doesn't specifically tell us, but one writer, he suggests it may be a number of things. That it could be Jesus is angry at sin and sickness and death. This isn't the way the world is supposed to be, and he is outraged by what sin has done to the world. I'm sure these are feelings that we've all felt. They're natural to feel anger at the way the world is so broken. The way people get sick, the way people get hurt, the way people die. Jesus felt it too, and he was outraged. He may have also been angry at another aspect of what sin has done, unbelief. The weeping and the grief of the mourners, it may have betrayed a lack of hope. Carson says it like this: "Profound grief at such bereavement is natural enough. Grief that degenerates to despair, that pours out its loss as if there were no resurrection, is an implicit denial of that resurrection. Grief that goes so far that there is no hope is an implicit denial of the resurrection hope. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and to not believe that is a rejection of who he is. The Lord's right anger will be directed to those who reject his son. God is angry at this injustice, at the sickness and sin in this world. But he's also angry at unbelief. Saying no thanks to Jesus is just not acceptable in his eyes. So we can take great comfort in a God who loves us and in a God who hates sin and hates its consequences. And thirdly, we can take comfort in God's timing. Remember Jesus' response when he hears of Lazarus' sickness. It's in verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus didn't immediately go to Lazarus. When the news gets to him, he stayed where he was for 2 more days before going to them. What was going on here? Well, Jesus was very intentional with his timing, even though his timing may seem strange. He waits 2 days, and then look at verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He says he's glad he wasn't there, presumably because he would have healed Lazarus. But he's glad so that the disciples would see the miracle and believe in him. There may be more to this delay. Not only was he planning on raising Lazarus from the dead, but 4 days had passed since Lazarus had died when Jesus got there. In Jewish thought at the time, it seems that there was a belief that after death, a person's spirit would hover near the body for the first 3 days. But after that, the spirit of the person would leave. So after 4 days, in the mind of the Jewish onlookers, this man was really dead. There was no coming back. That hovering spirit was gone. So the timing is really significant in this story. Look at the motivation behind what Jesus did. Look at the verse before verse 6, when we see Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It was because he loved them. God's timing is never wrong. The timing of events in our lives is never a mistake. Both Mary and Martha felt the same. If only you had been here, Jesus. If only you had come sooner. God, if only you had answered when I prayed. I'm sure we all feel like this at times. If only God would do something sooner. If only we'd get better from that sickness, or this pain would go away right now. If only God had done something, maybe my loved one wouldn't have passed away. If only I had been able to keep that job for 1 more year. All of these things are incredibly hard. But we can take comfort in the God who has perfect timing. His timing is never wrong, and he does it because he loves us. So when we question the timing of things in life, we can take comfort in the God whose timing of those things is perfect. He is completely in control. So because of this event, this historical event that shows Jesus' power over death, we can take great comfort. Finally, we can also have great hope through faith. Look at the hope that Jesus shares with Martha. Pick it up in verse 23. Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." Firstly, Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha obviously didn't realize the full extent of Jesus' words. Martha believed in the final resurrection on the last day. But then Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Not only is Jesus the one who raises the dead on the last day, he himself is the resurrection and the life. Outside of Jesus, there is no resurrection to eternal life. Jesus is the one where life beyond death is possible. Faith in Jesus means that we can be raised back to life. Trusting in him means we will be raised back to life. Those trusting in Jesus will be raised again. Life will return to our physical bodies. We will be raised from the dead. Jesus goes on, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Not only will life return to our physical bodies, but it will be never ending. Lazarus was raised to life, but as far as we know, Lazarus died again. He's not still alive today. The life that is found in Jesus through faith is for all eternity. Death is not really death for a Christian, and this gives us such amazing hope. We may feel distraught when we lose someone or when death is near to us or a loved one, but the amazing hope in Jesus is that if we believe in him, we will live even though we die. The Lord has a wonderful new creation for us to live in and enjoy and explore, a world without death, without pain or suffering, just perfect life in perfect bodies with our perfect Lord Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, we too can look forward to life even though we die, and life that never ends. And it's Jesus' own death and resurrection that secures this hope for us. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus himself was put to death, and he died to take that punishment that was owed because of our rebellion against God. But death couldn't hold him. Jesus was raised back to life on the third day. But his resurrection was different. Jesus was raised in a resurrection body, a new body. We said Lazarus died after being raised again, but Jesus is alive now. He has been alive ever since his resurrection. He is alive right now. And that is the hope that we have. Because Jesus was raised, those who trust in him will be raised as well. He is the resurrection and the life, and we can trust in what he has done. So Jesus has the power over death. He is the conqueror of death. He has the power to raise others from death. He himself was raised to life. Death could not hold him, and it has secured the hope of eternity for anyone who will trust in him. This event reveals to us who Jesus is, what he's like, and what he did. And it happened, and it's recorded so that we may believe. Believe in him maybe for the first time, that he really did die for me and was raised again. Or believe for the 100th time that he really does care for me, that he does know my suffering, that he loves me. Believe that his timing is perfect. Believe that we will live even though we die. There is great hope that because he is the resurrection and the life, for us who live by believing in him, will never die. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible hope that we have this Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for that we can remember that Jesus was raised to life all those years ago, and that we can have such hope that because he was raised, we also will be raised as we trust in him. Father, thank you for this wonderful account of how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, how he comforted and felt for and helped the family surrounding. Lord, thank you for his incredible power, that he really is the conqueror of death. And thank you that that is so relevant for us, that Lord, you have power over death, that we need not fear, that we have hope for eternity, that your timing is perfect, that you are truly caring for us and with us. We thank you, Father, for your immense love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were raised and that you are alive today. Thank you, Spirit, for the work you have done in our lives to bring us to faith. Lord, be working in the lives of many this day, that they may come and share this faith. And we pray in his powerful name. Amen.